We are activating your unique self-discovery one show at a time. The Orchard of Wisdom Self-Discovery Podcast are at your fingertips, just waiting to inspire and invite you in discovering just how awesome you really are and how to navigate through life in joy, enrichment, personal abundance, in mind, body, spirit, heart, and soul. All the people we bring you are here to serve you on your journey of life. Do enjoy our next show. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Choose Positive Living right here on selfdiscoverymedia.com. And my wonderful repeat guest is Rick Hayland, and I'm your host, Sarah Troy. We've got a very good subject for you today: goal setting versus enjoying the moment. Sometimes we get so caught up in the goals and setting everything up in order, and we follow those goals one step, two step, forget to be present in the moment. Rick Hayland is the best-selling author and executive coach with over 35 years of professional expert experience, helping businesses and leaders reach their professional and personal goals. He provides his clients with the coaching and the tools they need to succeed. He has consulted businesses of all sizes to improve their performance. Rick specializes in helping leaders identify their personal and business performance gaps to improve performance. As the second largest shareholder and COO of his consulting company, he helped the company grow from 33 consultants to 250. His formula for goal setting, accountability, high engagement, detailed planning has helped many a leader companies enhance their performance. And the reason why I put so much emphasis on personal and business is because we have to remember that we are our business. Personally, we are our business. Everything that we are, everything that's going on in our lives, every essence of ourselves is a representation of who we are in business. And if we don't have that straight, then unfortunately our business is going to suffer. Welcome back, Rick. It's wonderful to have you back here again.
Sarah, it's wonderful to be with you. And I'll say a big amen to your comments in the intro and the importance of doing all that right. And I love our topic today, because last time we talked about purpose, the importance of purpose, and I told a story, if the listeners want to go back to that episode, about how I developed my purpose as a 26-year-old, and it really just helped me cascade to a lot of amazing experiences and successes. And then I got in my 40s, and I realized, you know what? I'm making a lot of money. I'm running a company, and I'm stressed out. And not able to enjoy the moment. And so all these wonderful ahas started to pop in my head, because I always knew of the power of goal setting. And then, you know, in my book of Live Your Purpose, Step-by-Step Guide to Living Your Best Life, it's actually the second half of the book. The first half of the book is on the first part of your question, how to set goals, how to break them down, how to accomplish great things. And then the last book is how to stay present. And, when you're not achieved your goals yet and you're still in progress and in the, you know, how to stay in the moment. So yeah, I'm glad we're talking about that, because that aha came later in life.
And we would like people to have that aha now and not get to the later in life. This is the whole reason for doing this. I think we're so kind of, doesn't matter what age we are, you know, we're young, we have that energy, we're driven, you know, success, success, success. But we haven't quite defined what that success is, or what it should be, or what it means to us. It's something we're chasing rather than something we're being. As we get older, success becomes something very different, a totally different mindset, heart set, soul set of who you are, what you are, and what you're doing. And, you know, there is that wonderful gift of age and maturity and experience of life that gives you that hindsight. But then if you choose to listen to the people that have actually lived those steps and reached that point, you could actually interject this hindsight into your life now. You don't have to be kind of chasing the dream. I've got all the plans, it's going to work, rah, rah, rah. And then hang on, I left myself behind. It's 10 years later. I've got a big business that's running very well, but where am I in it? I've lost me in it, and I've lost connections with family. I've got connections with myself, and I don't know why I'm in it anymore. I've forgotten why I started it. And that's such a common state of being for a lot of people that kind of dive into their business and forget themselves along the way.
Yeah, there's a great book called How to Measure Your Life. He's a Harvard professor. He passed away now, but it was one of the more popular courses at Harvard. And basically how he'd start the course, and it's all about purpose and mission and living your best life. And the course and the book, I recommend it. It's just a short read, but he'd have former Harvard grads come in that were captains of industry, powerful, lots of money, and sharing lessons learned about, they are estranged from their family and their kids. They're on their third wife. They're, you know, they were happy. They had all the money and the trappings in the world. So it led him and me and you to ask the question, well, you know, what is success really? If it's not power and money and prestige, is there more to it? And that was a great kind of aha that even the most successful of us realizing that there's more to life than money, more to life than a title. And that's why we're talking about it today, right? And I hope the listeners are saying, well, okay, that's great. I believe that. I don't want to live a stressed out life while chasing the dream. How do I manage it? What's the how? That's where I love to spend my time thinking about. And really what I would tell your listener, Sarah, is there's different tools and approaches to get the mindset of whether you believe the Bible or not. I do, but if you just think it's a book of wisdom, that's fine. But in there in Philippians 4, there's a good piece of wisdom. And I believe it's Paul talking to the saints, to the believers, and he's saying, I'm commanded to be full and hungry. Full, like he's presenting an opposite, right? And then he talks about I'm commanded to be humble, present, content, and always striving. That's how he defined and broke down his little axiom of full and hungry. And so I love that idea. Like I love thinking about the balance. At first you say, well, how can I be full and hungry? I can't, right? It's one or the other. Well, that's not. And in life, we want you to think about both. That how can I be content, present, and enjoy each moment, and also, excuse me, and also striving for big dreams, big goals. We don't want you to give up on those. So what are the skills and tools? And I know you believe in a lot of these, Sarah, but let me just list a couple of them that I book. A simple one would really be the idea of gratitude, and that is grateful mind. When a grateful heart approaches a day, a week, a month, it's a much better attitude and tone, even if you haven't accomplished your big dreams and goals yet. Are you grateful for what you do have? That is a key to success and happiness in life. Even though you haven't accomplished your $8 million net worth goal or whatever it is, you can still be happy and present in the moment. And part of one of the tools that's tremendous in my planner that I have on Amazon called Live Your Best Life Planner. One of the pages across from Plan of the Day is, and it's an equal sized page, it's called Daily Planning. Before you can plan your day, list out your gratitude and your learnings. And I think I shared this quote with you before of one of my heroes, Nelson Mandela, he's passed away now, but the ex-president of South Africa, 27 years in Robben Island in jail, and forgave his captors. And he made a great quote that ties in his life and I believe where we really need to be. And then he says, I never lose, I either win or learn. So don't you love that? It's not about failure. I'm not losing, I'm learning. And if you take that approach, or I'm winning and I'm grateful for those little things in my life. So I think the mindset of gratitude and the mindset of learning can really help you still enjoy the moment while striving. So that's one idea, Sarah.
I'm going to address those before we go any further, but for me, failure is when you give up and you don't try. I fell on my backside and I learned I don't do it that way. I get up in enthusiasm and try a different approach, right? That is for me is the hunger, right? Is the okay, it didn't work. At least I know what doesn't work. How about I try something else and see how that or if that works? And it's try and try again. Wouldn't have the light bulb if he didn't try and try again. And
Sometimes did
the
he fail or learn before he pulled that off,
And
right? That it's
learn. And the thing is keeping your wonderment alive. Gratitude. I woke up this morning. Thank you. There's so many people that didn't. There's disasters and wars and everything all around us. I woke up and what lays before me are possibilities and opportunities. What I choose to do with them lies in my hands, in my mindset, right? If we greet each day with that gratitude and with a positive attitude, even if you're not feeling good, Which, something I battle with a great deal sometimes. I wake up and the body is not in agreement with me today. And it's like, okay, body, all right, I know I have to nurture you. I know I have to be more gentle with you today. But let's just try this and let's just do that. Let's just take this step. And then I get into the flow of what I love to do. And then I forget the pain and the anguish that I was in a few moments ago. If we get stuck in the wrong moment, the moment of pain or the moment of depression or the moment of discord, then it's so much harder to look at anything with gratitude or a positive attitude. Right? Nurture yourself, love yourself, and then step into something you love doing because that will reset you.
Yeah, to your point, it can literally, if you've had a bad day and you stop and take a little, and I'm a big believer in writing it down, right? You can change your what you're grateful for in the small little things in your life. I have health, I have my daughter, I have my, whatever it is. I know I didn't score that big deal at work, but I got two potential hopeful good conversations for a deal yesterday. And so you're always finding the things that you have, because a grateful mind also thinks better. When
It's open.
you're mad and steamed and discouraged, you're not thinking clearly. You don't have the energy to do what you want. And we all have ups and downs. That's what everybody does. And it's how you manage it, the toolkit you learn, the mindset you learn. Gratitude's one of them. Let me share another one, Sarah, that I think you know and believe in. This again came in my 40s when I was, according to the world, successful and stressed out and not present for my kids like I wanted to, or even sometimes employees. I would always pull it together for clients, right? Because you have to. But when the people that in your life that you don't necessarily have to, that's a real test on where you're at in your mentality and your happiness. So I read this book called The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle, and it completely blew my mind. He's a guy out of Vancouver, Canada. And to tell you how good it is, I had to read it four times to understand it. And a lot of books, I can read half of it and say, okay, got it, thank you. But I literally had to read it three or four times. And his concept is that your mind is the one starving you, ripping you from happiness, and letting your mind go uncontrolled or unmanaged or unawares, if you will. And it's stealing the happiness from you. Yes, you're excited about, your kid graduating or getting into that university or the big deal landing. But if you can focus on the power of now, if you can focus on staying present and in the moment, how, Rick, how? So a couple of things work. Meditation works, getting still works, any kind of breath works, breath work works. Right. I know people that even in between big meetings, they're rattled, they're intense, they've had, a good, healthy debate, and 10 deep breaths, really deep breaths. Clear your mind, go to the next meeting, or get ready to go home after an intense day at work, So, breath work and meditation, and you don't have to be, go on for days. You can if you really dig it. But it could be 10 minutes a day. It could be more than that. And there's some tremendous apps and tools to build the habit. Because most of us, especially for us strivers, learning to get still is not a thing that's comfortable right away. But yet, if we can, one of the side benefits is not only do you get slower, think better, but a lot of times inspiration comes. When
100%.
we're too busy chasing our to-do list, chasing everything, we can't let the good ideas kind of work and work and work and come out. But I just had an experience this morning where I didn't have a great sleep. I got really still at this very desk right here, and I was a little groggy. But all of a sudden, I started thinking about the business and what are the next big steps and what are, and a couple of really good ideas. And it just got slow, and I wasn't chasing a to-do list. I'm a big to-do list guy, but what we're talking about is balancing that between being content in the now, in the today, and striving and balancing that. And I think that's where real happiness lies. Because just being still and not getting anything done, that is not full of self-actualization either. So it's this combination of trying to do both. And I find it exciting because it's a challenge. I could do one or the other pretty well, but how do I do both? And that's pretty exciting. So anyhow, that's a couple more thoughts for you. What's your thoughts on that, Sarah?
Well, being present, the gift of the present is in the now, right? And I always see it's the seeding in the now, in the clarity of the now, is what's going to grow in the next moment, right? That is the vision, that is the purpose, that actually is the application of those seeds that grow. But you know me, I'm a knowingness person, so it is about allowing the wisdom to come through you, whatever faith you are, whatever energy or source you believe in, allow it to channel through you, ignite your heart in truth and belief, lift your spirit into action, and your mind will know what it needs to know in that moment. And the trouble is, very often we get stuck in the knowledge. Yes, but what this, and you're so wrapped up in data that you're not in the clarity of the wisdom to know how to use that data in that moment for that application. And that can only happen, as you said, with the deep breath, because with the deep breath, it lifts up your body, it aligns your chakras, it opens you right up, it allows the energy to flow through you. Slow those breaths down, be present. That doesn't mean you're ignoring everything around you, it's that you're being present in the moment, acknowledging what's around you. And the next thing you know, you start to see things more clearly. And when you see things more clearly, you can act more clearly, you can apply more clearly. You may have had that to-do list, I'm going to do this, and then you're in that moment, that sense, you know what, that's not important right now. That was, that was a to-do list of this mindset. But what I really need to be doing right now is X, Y, and Z. Because you're present and you're recognizing what actually is important in front of you in that moment. You're not dictating. The mind loves to dictate, it loves the order, it loves taking, order out of chaos. But if we're present, we're actually more present to actually the clarity, the wisdom, the inspiration, and also the wonderment of the next moment.
Yeah, let me balance the to-do list idea, because I love where you're going there. Being, because I am a big believer in having a plan. The one positive side of having a plan when you've got too much to do, it actually relaxes your mind a little bit. I've got a plan. Relax and enjoy this particular segment that I have with Sarah, and then my next interview in, 28, whatever, rather than, oh my goodness, I'm not sure I'm going to get all this done. I'm not even present to you because I'm worried about the to-do list. And then, you're not present all day because you're anxious to get everything you have done. You don't want to miss anything. You don't. So there is this idea that if I set a plan, a realistic plan, it actually can relax my mind and say, okay, I got a plan. I know, yes, there's 20 things I could do today, but now I know what the five highest priorities are. So it's a prioritized plan. I don't have to get all 20 done. I just have to do my best to try to get five. So then, to your point, so that does relax me, and that does get me to stay present a little bit because I have a plan. I know that I don't have to get all 20 done. I can get five, and it still can be a successful day. But to your point, sometimes it's just right to be flexible. And child needs some time. Yet you had planned to, develop your business plan. Well, what's going to get higher priority? What's the highest priority in your life? What people always prioritize tasks. Can you then put that aside? Is it going to kill you to do it tomorrow or tonight or whatever? Because your daughter needs you right now. So you're right. There's this relaxing
Balance.
that can happen once you do have a good plan, a prioritized plan, so you know what the real important things are versus the 15 things you don't necessarily have to have done. But you also have to be flexible. You also have to honor what's most important in the moment. And be okay with, you know what? It was the right thing not to accomplish all five things. I got three of them done, but these other two things came up that I deemed more important in the middle of the day. So there's a nice balance also between good prioritized daily planning and being flexible.
And you're not beating yourself up for it.
Yes.
Because if you go and say, oh, 20 things to do, it's a high expectation. And oh, I didn't achieve it. Now you're beating yourself up. Well, where's that going to get you? Right? What is a plan? God always laughs at our plans. Right? You've laid out a plan. I've got a different plan for you. That's the
True.
gist of it, right? So what we're really looking at with a plan, there's the to-do list of functions to achieve the bigger vision.
Yes.
But what is the vision? Do you have the whole picture in the vision? And I've had a vision to do certain things with my company now for a long time. And this step by step that I'm achieving certain things. But every time I've tried to push it to go to a certain place before it was meant to come to be, it pushed back. So I think a great deal of what we need to understand is the vision of what our plan is, our to-do list to implement that plan, is if we're not present in the now, listening to our instinctual selves and to the wisdom, we're very often pushing something before it's ready to go, or it's waiting on the synchronicity of something else to happen for it to come to fruition. If we're not tuned into that, we're not reading that, then we're going to be wasting time rather than being productive with time.
Yeah, there's so much good nuggets to unpack in there. Your concept of wisdom is right on. Your concept of vision, that's why that purpose statement, that is articulating my vision, because you're busy for what end? Or how do I prioritize if I don't have a strong end in mind, a strong vision for my life? How do I prioritize it? Everything's important? No, you don't live your life that way, right? You gotta prioritize it based on your vision. That's why it's start macro and work down to day, right? People are good at the visioning, but not good at the daily and the in between, and vice versa. So it's really, and I used to pride myself. I'm an execution guy. In fact, my first draft of my purpose statement said action orientation, because it was a strength. But you're right. After time, you learn. You know what? I know I promised, and I think it's a big pat on the chest to say that to the client, the proposal will be there tomorrow. But did it really need to be? Was that my action orientation and wanting to impress and amaze? Or was that really when the client needed it? What if I said it'll be done in 3 days and I actually got a better product and I got a peer review from somebody else? And I got, you know, so this idea that, yes, I love people with execution skills to make stuff happen. If we have a coaching session, for example, I can tell you who's going to be successful. We come up with six ideas from the coaching session, come next week to one person that's got zero done. Got too busy. Get to the next person, he's got four out of the six done. That's somebody that's gonna be successful. But you know, judging, I guess the assumption there is, you know, on both coaching sessions, those six ideas were good ideas. You can always say later on in afterthought, in hindsight, hey, geez, you know, that's I decided I didn't want to do that. That's fair. But assuming those six ideas, I love working with the individual. I can give you a better ROI promise if you're the four out of six complete than the one out of six. I'll tell you that right now. But at the same time, you know, sometimes there's a lot of wisdom to just saying, you know, I can push that a couple of days. Let's let it ruminate a little bit. Let's let that proposal sit there for a bit. Let's let that blog, that book, that chapter, that, you know, let me just think about it overnight. There is so much value into
Oh my
not
God, yes.
for quality. So anyhow, I know I'm showing both sides of
That's the whole idea. It's a both sides the day, right? But you know, revisiting something from fresh eyes.
yes.
You know, when you, I've just written my memoir, and then I kind of went over and edited it and edited it, and then I got busy with work and everything else, and I didn't look at it for a couple of weeks. And then when I went back, and I'm like, no, I don't want to say this, or I could say this in a different way. It is healthy. You know,
Yes.
I used to be the person, rush, rush, rush. I see the vision. Let's do it. Rah, rah, rah. And then you're missing some key ingredients in there because you haven't allowed things to mature, to ferment, to kind of clarify. You're going with the enthusiasm of the vision without the structure of the vision. And
Or even
sometimes
sometimes the wisdom,
the
like you're saying.
wisdom of why the vision is then, what does that vision actually mean? And if you're so busy rushing into it, sometimes you're missing the purpose of it. And I think revisiting things, taking time out, this is a hard lesson I had to learn. I was given this vision 5 years ago. I've accomplished two or three things of it. But I know that, you know, I'm a plodder. I've learned to be a plodder rather than a racer because I learned when I raced, very often I was ahead of people and they didn't know what the hell I was talking about. Can't you see it? Can't you see it? No, they couldn't because I didn't lay out the strategy or the steps to get there. I was just showing them the end product from a vision point of view. I've slowed down. I've become the plodder, become more methodical. I've also become kinder to myself. Just because that vision is there doesn't mean it has to be done tomorrow. It will be done when it needs to be done. And as being kinder on myself instead of thinking, oh, I failed because I didn't get it done in this time. Was it meant to be done in that time? Again, prioritize what is important in the now because they're the building blocks actually to that vision coming into completion.
Yeah, let me share a fun story about my father-in-law, Richie Whitehead. He bought a Model A in when my wife was born, and she's now 58 years old. And I came to him about 5 years ago, and he's retired, and said, "Richie, with my action orientation and my deadline orientation and my goal setting, Richie, you've had that thing 40, 50 years. When are you going to do something with it?" Just looks at me with a big smile on his face. Says, "I'll get to it. It's in the plan." "But you're 80 something. When are you going to get to the plan?" Well, sure enough, COVID hits. He's isolated at 80 something, but he can get access to parts. He can get access to his garage. He had a blast finishing that. Took his time, or his royal time, took 2 more years to finish it. And now it's in parades. He's having fun. Grandkids love in the whole thing, but
The
what a
time was
family.
right. Right?
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to wait for the time to be right. Yes.
Didn't rush it.
No.
And what we're talking about really helps procrastinators too, because if you have a mindset, because procrastination can really be a hindrance to this execution, because you do have to be good at execution to be successful in business. But using wisdom and taking time so you have higher quality decisions is what we're talking about. And if I'm a procrastinator, and I've coached a lot, one of the mindsets that could help you is, you know what? I'm just going to start that draft today. It's not going to be perfect. I'm not completely comfortable, but I know I'm going to go back to it 2 or 3 times. And time, I'll just get started. I'll just start small.
One step, one
Yeah.
step. Just take the step. Get out of the thinking stage and get
Yeah.
into, I call it, actionism. Taking some action on the vision,
Even if it's
and
not
just
perfect.
one step in front of the other, because
Yeah.
we've got to understand that every vision, everything that is out there in the world came from a vision. But unless we know how to implement, how to execute, whom to do it with, and whom to do it for, if that vision is just going to dwindle away. And very often we need to go and get the skills or the tools or the people, the alignments, the synchronicity, in order to make that vision come to true, come to fruition. You have to understand, how much can I do? How much do I have to learn in order to take that step forward to make that happen? Is it me that's meant to happen, or is it somebody I'm meant to bring in because they're better at making this aspect of it happen? And unless you're willing to kind of be still in the moment to actually really look at everything more clearly, compartmentally, bit by bit, you don't know what you need. And you don't know whom to ask, and you don't know how to do it. Once you actually have that information, this is my strength. I can do that. This isn't. What do I need to learn? That I'm no good at. I need to bring somebody in for. You've already got a strategy there now that you can start implementing on. But if you're just rushing after it, you're probably chasing your tail and never get it done because you haven't got the right tools to do it.
Well said. Tools and wisdom. Get expert input to move you off. If you're stuck on a goal, get some expert insight from somebody you trust to help you get unstuck with ideas. In 10 minutes, if you're stuck on a big goal, you could be unfrozen by a good coach taking you through a process to really decide what's most important and what's the right thing to do now. But the real lesson in, well, there's so many lessons in that, but start small. Ball. Don't freak out the brain. Don't scare the limbic system that it's too big and scary to start. Just start with a full step. I'm going to investigate. I'm going to talk to Sarah about that. That's all. No big commitment to change the world just yet. I'm just going to investigate. I'm going to research. I'm going to find out from. I'm going to read this. Anyhow, start small on the goals you're stuck on. That could really help you get unstuck if you just start very small, and all of a sudden you got momentum. Because goals and life and actionism needs momentum. It needs a start. And if you can start,
Fluidity.
yeah, that helps.
When I've got given the vision, I'm a person, I'm a visualer. So, oops, lost you. Are you still there? Yep, you're
Yep.
there back. What I had to do is create a poster of what it is. And then from that poster, it has changed over time, but the fundamentals of what is important in that vision, the things that are absolutely are wanting to do and can do, can make happen, have stayed in the poster, have stayed in the vision, and other things have been tweaked. And every time I look at that vision, that is my focus of A, B, and C. What steps next? What do I need to do in order to make this grow? Right? Laying the planting the seeds, making sure the watered and nurtured in the right areas, and concentrating on one area at a time, so that things are growing strong. Don't let this grow so out of proportion that these other things suffer. Right? Now that is at a certain growth, I can now give time to this other thing so that that can grow, so that things are growing more in a balance, so that the vision doesn't become lopsided.
Yes, absolutely. And I love the theme of our conversation, and all these little ideas help it. And just to recap for the listeners, we're trying to figure out to give you mindset. One of my mentors in change used to say, change needs three things: skill set, mindset, and tool set. And that's what we've been talking about: different tools, different mindsets, and different skills to develop to help you be successful and happy, present, content, and striving for big things in your life. And I think the things we've been talking about are those tools to help you do that.
I think the big question is you get given a vision, it's all wonderful, and believe me, I've had plenty of them because I'm a visualer, and I've backed things. I literally became bankrupt by backing something that it was a perfectly good a product, perfectly good. I didn't have enough information of how to bring this product to the right people, right? And eventually got stolen from us, and then I'm one step away from the street. Lesson learned. But a lesson learned that I did things wrong, but also lessons learned of where my strengths really were, my capabilities, where they really were and where they were really not. And the thing is that when we look at something that goes wrong, we immediately go into punishment, self-punishment or blame, right? Now, if we look at it and go, okay, that didn't happen. What did I do wrong? And maybe even sometimes it wasn't meant to be, it was purely meant to be the lesson. What lesson, what skills, what tools, what knowledge did you gain on that that now you can take to something else that you're more attached to that vision and you can build the structure of that vision up so much more securely this time because you know what's needed?
Yeah, it's a little bit like the idea that I see so many entrepreneurs today. The stats on small business are scary, right? I looked at the Bureau of Stats, Labor Department stats recently, and it was 70% of small businesses fail in the first 5 years. 70, 7-0. And what were those reasons? Well, one, they didn't manage their finances well. Two, they didn't have a formal business plan. And two, they didn't have a robust marketing strategy. It just went for it, just gave her, just started running with an idea, right? They got the
That
product.
was me.
And so much value in taking time, thinking through a plan, getting expert insight on a plan or an investment, or don't be afraid to spend money to make money. So many
Yes.
entrepreneurs are so cheap that they cut off their nose to spite their face. I know that's an old saying if there's any more listening, but basically you need to invest money to make good business decisions. To make a, you want to build a $300,000 a year income in your own at home business, coaching or Amazon products or whatever, you need to invest in experts to get you. I see so many people starting podcasts and they're disappointed it's not growing and monetizing. Well, there's people that know how to help you on that. I see people doing social media and they're getting 1 million followers. This is one example that's extreme, and they won't buy a thing from them. So, there's people that know there's bigger and better ideas than waiting for word of mouth and social media to drive your lead generation on your small business. You have to have a comprehensive marketing strategy, but it's
And be
that whole idea.
flexible on it too, constantly, because it's
Yeah,
changing every minute.
that's true. But get input, get expert advice, get a great plan, and then go for it. And then, yes, you'll have additional learnings 3 months from now that plan changed. But that's the beauty of it. It's meant to.
But you know how to adapt to it now.
Right.
I always say to people that if you're not willing to invest in yourself, Right, in yourself. I mean, you've got this great vision. You know you really want to do it, but am I in a right state right now of doing this? Am I in a right place? What do I need to do to make sure that I'm centered, I'm well balanced at this moment to take on this venture? And if you're not willing to kind of invest in somebody who can help you, yeah, this is how you center yourself. This is how you keep the balance. This is how you do the one step at a time and don't get overwhelmed with it. If we don't learn those techniques and how to manage ourselves, how are we going to manage a business properly? So I think it always starts with yourself. You are the face of your business. Every time you open your mouth, you're representing your business. And your business and you are one on the same. Yeah, maybe different hats that you take off at different times, but still you are a representation of that. So first and foremost, have you actually invested in yourself that you are now ready to take that step forward securely?
You're speaking my language here, Sarah. This is my latest book, The Truth About Being a Rainmaker: 7 Steps for Sales Excellence. It's the story of it's the 7 principles that we 100x'd our consulting company, and I wrote a book about it. Now helping clients do it, but so many people. Here's the analogy I'd use, and I love that you're talking about self-care. It's actually principle number 7, and some people ask me. 7 principles to 100x your business, and you put as number 7. One of them, you're helping me be a better salesman, and one of them is self-care. Yeah. Yeah. If you want to be your best every day, if you want to, you never have a chance to make a second impression with the first with a client. You never cannot get that back. And so I have to be my best every day with sleep, exercise, spiritual development, emotional development. You can have great self-care practices. The analogy is, I have a boat, and I have to take it 4.5 hours. It's a heavy boat. It's a big surf boat to Idaho to our place every spring and back every fall. And this boat is a big surf boat. It's a big, heavy boat. Am I going to have my truck running at 50% capacity, 75% capacity? Because, oh, I don't have the extra money. I don't have that. Or am I going to make sure that towing that heavy tow load, am I going to make sure the tires, the air, the engine, everything is 90 plus ready to go? Absolutely, I am, because I want that to be productive, safe, travel,
Reliable.
right? Reliable. Same thing in our own business. Taking care of, you have to take care of yourself. We used to think it was selfish. No,
It's
it's
imperative.
imperative of self-care, because you might be able to do it for a year or two where you just burn the candle. Maybe let's say you don't have a partner, you don't have kids, you don't have other responsibilities, you just give her. You might be able to do that, work 100-hour weeks for a couple of years, strike it rich, retire, blah, blah, blah. You might be able to do that. Maybe if you get some tech invention. But you want to be successful for 30 years, 40 years? Impossible. You have to have good self-care practices if you're going to be a long-term success. I don't want to be a short-term success. I
No,
want to
no.
be a success.
It's
So this self
learning to pace yourself. It's learning to listen to yourself of I'm oversaturated, I'm overwhelmed, time to pull back. Oh, nope, the balance isn't here. I'm putting too many hours into the business. I haven't got enough hours for myself or for my loved ones. All right? Because if you don't have that, you are out of balance. You are out,
Well, and
even if you're a single person out there doing a business, you have to have the healthy lifestyle of friends and family to balance you out. Otherwise, you're in one, rut all the time, and that's all you're seeing. You're never downloading, and just allowing and being present and enjoying the moment of life. It's going to either cause a heart attack, burnout, stress out, or hating everything that you're doing.
yes. Yeah. And let me just, another example of exactly what you're talking about. I know we need to go, but one more short example. I was coaching an individual one time that worked till 10 every night. And I was trying to get through to him about the self-care and taking care, and sleep is part of it. You'll be fresher, blah, blah, blah. So then he started quitting work at 6, no matter what. Yes, he had to delegate or contract out a few things, which is smart business, not just work hard, work smart. And then he made time for his self-care. And he found, and I have found, and you have found that if you work less hours, you can actually and take care of yourself emotionally, physical, spiritual, you can actually get more done, have higher quality.
100%. Yes.
Even if you're not burnt out, even if you don't have heart trouble, which, as you're saying, eventually you will. But even if you don't have any of that and you're wondering, why should I, only work 45 hours instead of 75? Because your ideas are going to be better. Your mind's going to be clear. Your
More
wisdom is
productive.
better. If you take self-care into the package, you'll have more inspired ideas rather than just, draging on and grinding.
But
So anyhow,
people will
work.
notice the difference, though. People will notice the difference because they notice if you're on that treadmill and you're totally wired and
Out of
you're too highly strung for them. But
yeah,
people that are well balanced, that have taken care of
there.
themselves, or they're pacing themselves, they're going to be the people that are more invitational because you feel you can communicate with them because you feel they're actually going to give you some time.
Amen. Well said.
So there's a lot of things that we need to find, and really what you're looking at here is balance. The balance of your own life, your own well-beingness, your mind, heart, soul, spirit, everything needs to, body needs to be in sync, in flow. And whatever your vision is, it's the one step at a time in pursuing it. Whatever you don't have the knowledge for, gain it. And if you can't do it yourself, hire someone to do it for you. Be willing to invest in yourself, but keep the equilibrium and allow yourself to be present for the clarity and understanding what you're doing, but always driving forward, but doing it confidently because you are knowing why you're doing it and you're taking the breath and doing
Absolutely. Well said. Nice summary.
it. How do people get the books? How do people find you? What are you offering?
Yeah, just go on Amazon if you want to see. There's three books. One's The Planner, and one's the book on sales. One's the book on purpose and goals. You can go on Amazon and get that. And my name is Rick Hyland. It's spelled Heyland. It looks Hayland, but it's pronounced Hyland. You can find that. You can find my podcast on my website. You can find other products, tools, giveaways. There's a freebie PDF on how to develop purpose. There's a free quiz on how well your skills match up to other rainmakers. So there's lots of fun stuff up there. Both you can find my coaching section, a free discovery call with me, lots of things. And that's at www.ci4life. So the number 4, ci4life.org, not .com. So that's www.ci4life.org. That's where you can find me.
Excellent. Wonderful. Well, I'm so good. Glad to have you back here again. Please go and listen to the other show on purpose. If you haven't got a purpose, you haven't got a reason. So you need the purpose driven to actually understand why you're doing what you're doing and why then it's so important to do it and the balance in doing it, right? So I know we're going to have a third step along here. So come back anytime and share that as well. And for everybody out there that's wanting to start a business or do anything in life that you want to do, remember that it has to have a balance and an equilibrium. You have to be present in yourself to actually understand why you're doing it, what to do, whom to do it with, who needs to help you along the line. And if you're not present, you're missing all the people that are around you. They're there. When you need them, they are there. If you're rushing forward and not paying attention, you're missing the point. All right. So thanks so much, Rick, for sharing with us here again today.
Thanks for all your great work.
And to everyone else out there, remember, we want your success, but plan it well. Plan it well, please. And remember to always fortify yourself because that fortifies your vision and moving forward. Until next time, bye for now. We hope that you enjoyed the show. Find all of our shows on selfdiscoverymedia.com under podcasts or selfdiscoverymedia/shows. And for all our current shows, go to What's New. We are supported by you, the audience. You'll see a nice big shiny blue button for one-time donations or follow us on Patreon, and you will be able to support us there. We enjoy bringing you such wisdom. And the next show will be up in just a moment.